I have a 6-part program that I developed. It is in my book, Adulterer's Wife, How to Thrive, Whether You Stay or Not. The first thing is to find confidants and or mentors that have your best interests at heart, with whom you can vent and discuss how you should proceed and talk about your innermost feelings, however dark they may be. So that's the first thing. The second thing is to cultivate existing and new connections. Whether they're old friends or they're new people you're meeting, make sure you build a strong circle of friends. It's easy to forget about that when you're in an all-encompassing marriage, raising children, running a business, whatever it is you're doing. You've got to have your own set of connections, not friends of your husband's or friends of your wife if you're a male. You've got to have your own circle of friends. And the next point, which I think is really important, is laughter therapy. You need to hang out with people that make you laugh and that bring you up rather than bring you down. I dumped a lot of people, for instance, when I was going through cancer because they were so depressing to be around. Why would you want to be around people that make you feel depressed? No, not a good idea. And I even stopped watching things like dramas with sad endings, and I wanted comedies. I wanted things that made me feel good, that made me laugh. So you really need that. You don't necessarily want to be listening to the news every day and finding out about the latest murders and dreadful political situations. You want stuff that makes you feel good, not that makes you feel depressed. The fourth item on my 6-part list is that you should love your body and become beautiful. And that means eating well, exercising, and also taking care of your appearance, buying clothes you like. You may not have bought clothes for ages if you've been in a long-term marriage. But exercise and good eating is how you banish the blues and stay healthy. It's very, very important. And it's easy to forget about that stuff when you're stuck in a long-term relationship. But a lot of people end up just sitting at the computer doing their work and raising children, and they're not moving around at all. You've got to move, absolutely have to move. And then another part of the equation, number 5, is to find your passion and spend a bit of time being a hedonist. Find your passion in terms of what you like doing. It isn't necessarily something that is going to make you scads of money, so you don't necessarily want to throw your job in, but you want something that really excites you. What did you always enjoy doing? Do you like art? Do you like music? Are you interested in volunteering? All kinds of things are out there. Are you interested in the environment, nature? There's a lot. And so you have to find your passion. And also you have to be a hedonist. And it's easy as a married woman to be, instead of being hedonist, being that, you know, that Protestant ethic of nose to the grindstone. And that can grind you down. Along with that grindstone going on your nose, you really have to make time to do things you enjoy. Critical to fill your head with things you enjoy rather than churning thoughts about your husband. And the final and probably most important part is to try to work at living in the present and becoming more mindful so that you learn to become fully engaged in what you're doing right now. If you're constantly worrying about what happened in the past and churning about the past and just thinking about all these memories, good, bad, nostalgia, sadness, all of this, you're not living in the present. If you're worrying about the future and how you're going to manage and who you're going to end up in a relationship with, all this kind of stuff, rather than engaging with what's in front of you right now, you're not living in the present. And so many people, even without having infidelity to deal with, are just disengaged from what they're doing. They're disengaged from the present. There are a lot of ways you can learn how to become more mindful in my book, and also in the free PDF gift I have. I have, for example, a technique you can use that involves chocolate to become more mindful. And I have to say, I am a recovering chocoholic. And so that is why it's in there. The exercise is used in schools in Britain. So British school kids are doing these mindfulness exercises with chocolate and without chocolate too. But the chocolate one is probably the most popular. And so if kids can do it, you can do it too. So there are a lot of ways you can spend maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day or every couple of days doing these kinds of techniques, and you learn to become more mindful, and your life is happier as a result because you spend it engaged with what's happening right in front of your nose rather than, I've got this thought, I've got that thought, I'm worrying about what happened in the past, I'm worrying about what's going on in the future, I don't know what's going to happen. No, waste of time. Forget about it. All you have is now. That's it.